Tonight we'll have a guest speaker. Brother Wayne Barrier will be here tonight. He has come every summer since I've been here. And I know he came for a number of years before that. We try to figure out how long he has been going to Southeast Asia and evangelizing. And I believe it's about 34, 35 years. And Oliver had a part of that, maybe not from the very first year, but from almost the first year. So early on, we were a part of his work. He has taken both of his sons with him over there. Joey usually comes with him. I don't know if Joey will be here with him tonight. But the two of them together often make reports, and it's very interesting. And it is a wonderful work, and they're doing terrific work. There's schools over there to teach young men how to become preachers, and just trying to help people with the benevolent situation, helping to distribute food and medicine and things of this nature. Just a wonderful, wonderful work, and Oliver has had a part of it for a very long time, so I hope that you'll be here tonight to hear Brother Barrier's report and also to encourage him as well. Let's bow for the Lord's prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that your word is truth, that we can always turn to it in times of need, whether we are feeling down or we're feeling low or we're feeling lonely, whatever the situation might be, that we can turn to your word and we get the strength and the help that we need. Bless us in our study this morning. Help us to always remember that there are lessons on every page if we will look for them. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name and amen. I want to turn this morning over to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18.
Here in 1 Samuel,
because you do have a beautiful story told over the next four or five chapters about David and Jonathan. And really what we're talking about this morning is deepening relationships. And of all the people in the Bible, the two men that had the best relationship that I can say is David and Jonathan. They had an incredible relationship with one another. And people long to have that closeness, that intimacy with another person. And relationships are vital all over the world. They're necessary in the church for brothers and sisters in Christ to have close relationships. They're necessary in the home, especially between a man and his wife. They have a close personal relationship. It's necessary in the community. Sometimes people say that part of the problems of some of our large cities is the fact that people really don't have relationships. They don't speak to people. They don't talk to people. They don't know the names of their neighbors. They really aren't aware of who lives next door, who lives upstairs, or who lives in their neighborhood. And that is really a shame, because people do need to have relationships. And we find a lot about the relationship between David and Jonathan. Several things I want to point out this morning. First of all, David and Jonathan had a common purpose. If you turn over to chapter 23 of 1 Samuel and verse 17, Jonathan says to David, "You will be king over Israel." It's obvious that Jonathan recognized the fact that his father was now was displeasing to God, that God had rejected his father as king, that God had favored David. David was going to become the king. And it's a wonderful thing that they had the same purpose together, that David would rule and reign over the people. And we need to think about that today. If we're going to have a close relationship, we need to have our eyes on the goal together, that our goal is heaven. And to go to heaven, we need to do everything the Word of God has to say. And if the Bible tells us of an regardless of area and we are not following it, we are wrong. And we need to understand that. And sometimes people say, "Well, I don't care what the Bible says." Imagine what you're saying if you say that. "I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care about all the scripture you can quote." Well, what you're saying is that when God has said something, you don't care. We need to have the idea that we're going to listen to what God says, and we have the purpose of going to heaven. Secondly, you have seen the story of David and Jonathan, a selflessness that is incredible. It says here in chapter 18 that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And you think about it. Now, Jonathan had a lot to lose. You think about it. If he were the next in line to the throne, he's the son of the king. He ought to be sitting on the throne. He ought to be the king over Israel. But he gave that up because he saw there was in David the fact that God was going to have him become the king. And we need to remember that if we're going to be a friend, we've got to show ourselves friendly. Proverbs 18:24 says, "The man that has friends must show himself friendly." And if we're going to be friends, then we have to give. Now, I'm not talking about monetarily, even though sometimes that may happen. But I'm talking about giving of ourselves, sharing our lives, being with people, helping people, talking to people, and communicating with them, doing everything we can. But there has to be a selflessness. One of the problems of our nation, problem of the whole world, is that selfishness has just seemed to take it over. And if you aren't out for self, somebody says there's something wrong with you. But people who want to give to others and help others, that's what we saw with David and Jonathan. And both of these men wanted to help the other one. They had this real sense of selflessness, not selfishness. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Then also we find between David and Jonathan the idea of incredible loyalty. You look over to chapter 19, and Jonathan speaks up for David to his father. He defends David, and he says, "Why are you trying to kill him? He is innocent." And that is a wonderful thing. His father could have turned from him, could have even put his son to death. We saw that happen several times in the Old Testament. It could have happened that way, it didn't. He convinces his father not to kill David. David and Saul even says at that point, "Well, all right, I won't kill him." Now, later on in the very next chapter, he changes his mind again. Saul is one who goes back and forth on this thing. But at least at that point, because of Jonathan's loyalty to David, he was able to convince his father not to take David's life. And that's something that people look for in life and they want very, very much, is the idea of loyalty. The whole idea that you are my friend, You are my brother in Christ. You are the one that I want to defend. And we need to be people who will defend our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the loyalty that we have, not because we think that they're so great, but that's because of the fact that they are a brother, our sister in Christ. It may be the case that a brother or sister in Christ does wrong. And it may be the case, as Paul had to do with Peter. Paul mentions over in Galatians chapter 2, he had to call Peter now because Peter was acting as a hypocrite. That can happen. But we need to be loyal to one another just because of the fact of the relationship we have in Christ. Loyalty applies to the home. Loyalty applies in marriage. Loyalty applies in the church as well. Then also a fourth lesson we find between these men is the fact of openness with one another. You look about chapter 20, and David and Jonathan are having this conversation. Jonathan asks David if he really loves him. And he makes David swear again that he would love him. And David says, yes, I do love him. The fact of the matter is that Jonathan was vulnerable in that situation. And that's something that people don't want to be in the world today. They want to put up a facade and say there's nothing that can get through to me, nothing can hurt me, nothing can harm me. That's just not true. Every one of us is vulnerable. Every one of us has feelings. Every one of us can have doubts. Every one of us can have fears. Every one of us can have problems. And to be open with your brothers and sisters in Christ, be open with your spouse, be open with your family, and say, look, I've got weaknesses. I've got problems. I'm not perfect. I need help. I need strength. I need prayer. I need people to lean on in my life. Will you be with me in this situation? Jonathan needed that assurance. We don't know a whole lot of other things about Jonathan, but we know this, that he was willing to be vulnerable with David. David swore that he would, that he did love him. They renewed the relationship. And again, it says they loved him as his own soul. What a wonderful idea of friends having such loyalty with each other. And then one last lesson we'll look from these men, which you find over in chapter 20, that after hearing David's side of the story, Jonathan changes his mind on a particular point. And the point is, the thing that is so important in any relationship is the area of communication. Sometimes people say, well, they won't listen to me. Well, maybe the person won't. That's possible. That happens. But we need to be willing to be communicative in every relationship we have in life. Companies cannot go unless there is communication. They cannot build, they cannot grow unless there's communication. A congregation cannot grow spiritually unless there's communication. I've known of some situations where you have elders who do not want to communicate anything to the congregation. And the congregation was just kind of left in the dark about things. And I think that's a shame. Congregations need to hear what's going on. Obviously, there are times when elders are told certain private matters, certain things that have to be kept in confidence, and they should be willing to keep confidential matters confidential. But there are times when they need to communicate to the congregation what they are doing, what are their plans, what are they doing as far as mission work, what are they going to do as far as the Bible school program, what are they going to do as far as benevolent works. All these things that congregations need to know about and know about what the Lord's congregation is doing. It's not some deep, dark secret. Elders and leaders need to communicate to the people what they are thinking. As I said, there are times when things must be kept confidential. Everybody realizes that there are private matters on occasion that have to be kept private. But for the most part, the work of the congregation needs to be talked about and people need to have communication. The same is true in regard to a marriage. Sometimes a husband or wife will not be willing to communicate with their spouse, and it can make life miserable. Because one will not talk to the other. Maybe the husband has problems. Maybe he says, well, my problems are at work. She wouldn't understand my work. She doesn't understand the nature of it. There's no need talking to her about it. That's just not true. Yes, your work may be technical. Yes, your work may be of such a nature that she doesn't understand all the technical parts. That's true. But the emotional part that's bothering you is what she wants to hear about. The emotional part of how you're unhappy or what's wrong is what she really wants you to talk about. And that communication of that is going to help you. Sometimes men have said, well, I don't see where this is going to help me to talk about it. It will help. Communication is like a release valve. And it will release those emotions. It's not going to solve every problem. It's not going to give you every answer. But house about it. And then also, there needs to be a back and forth when it comes to communication. Sometimes people think, well, communication is just me doing all the talking and them doing all the listening. No, it's a two-way street. You talk, they listen, they talk, you listen. Both of you must be willing to do both sides of it if there's going to be true communication. It works in the Word of God. It works so many other places in life, in marriage, in a congregation, in jobs, in communities, whatever it is, there must be communication. Now, I would encourage all of us to think seriously about our relationships we have with one another in Christ and build quality relationships. Several things will benefit from it. Number one, life will be sweeter. It will be better with a better relationship you have. Also, it will give you a better outlook on life. It will help you to look at things positively instead of negatively. Thirdly, it's going to make the church stronger. Church can grow. People are stronger spiritually. They know they've got brothers and sisters. They aren't just a person who goes to church with them. They are a brother and a sister. And fourthly, and most importantly, it will help prepare us all for heaven. We all want to go to heaven. We all desire to be there. And having quality relationships is one way which we can be stronger spiritually and be ready to go and meet our Lord. Now we're going to sing the invitation song. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do that this morning. When Christ responded to the water of baptism, if you believe in Jesus, and you call him to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be immersed in the water for the remission of your sins. Why don't you do that this morning? As a child of God, you realize you have not lived a Christian life, and maybe you dedicate your life. Why don't you do that this morning? Whatever your needs might be, if we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come. We want you to come now as we stand, as we sing.